Welcome to DCU's Teaching Enhancement Unit Podcasts, an audio discovery series for teaching and learning in higher education. Hello, my name is Lisa Donaldson, and welcome to another episode in DCU's Teaching Enhancement Unit Podcasts called a discovery series for teaching and learning in higher education. And I would like to welcome Dermot Turney, who's a lecturer in the School of Law and Government today. Dermot recently won the Special Award for Distinctive Approaches to Innovation in Teaching at the President's Awards earlier this year. So let me ask Dermot, firstly, if I can just ask you to introduce yourself, please.
Sure, Lisa, and thanks very much for the invitation to participate in this podcast. So I'm an Associate Professor in the School of Law and Government. I've been in DCU just over 7 years. 7 years this month, in fact, we're talking in August. And over those 7 years, I've become more and more involved in teaching on climate change, particularly as a result of the establishment of our Masters in Climate Change, which we launched 3 years ago.
Fantastic. And speaking of climate change, there never was a more timely moment to talk about that. So this is a great opportunity today. You've mentioned previously that you speak about eco-anxiety in your students. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you perhaps empower your students to overcome and become more active participants in their learning as well as in broader society?
Sure. So eco-anxiety is a topic that in the teaching of sustainability has become more and more prominent, more and more pronounced. And those of us teaching in this space encounter it more and more. And it's basically the idea that the messages, the information that students are absorbing when they learn about topics like climate change or biodiversity loss are on the face of it very depressing. So the news isn't good, and indeed it's been getting worse. And Lisa, you mentioned, or you referenced the timing of our conversation this week. We're speaking in the week of the publication of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's sixth assessment report, which came out on Monday. And the messages contained in that are very stark. I mean, they're for those of us engaged in this research and this area, they're not new messages, but I think they are finding a wider audience, and particularly for people who haven't really engaged at a deep level with these subjects before, they can be very very challenging, and they can lead to feelings of hopelessness, and feelings of powerlessness. So I'm just one person. What can I do? And so in our teaching, I guess that there are two dimensions to it. One is providing students with an understanding of the scale of the climate and biodiversity crisis. So on the one hand, we can't, it would be irresponsible, I think, to kind of downplay the scale of the challenges we face. So for example, on the Masters in Climate Change, students take a module on climate change science taught by my colleague Darren Clark in the School of History and Geography. So we need to be honest with students about the scale of the challenges. But then the other part of it is giving them the tools to respond, and an understanding of the kinds of governance processes and the ways in which decisions are made. And the ways in which the wrong decisions have been made in the past, so that students are better able to play their part, whatever that might be, in the future as they go out to or re-engage in the world.
And you absolutely have encouraged your students to become more active participants in that role. Would you like to talk a little bit about how you've worked with your students to enable that?
Sure. So I guess going back 5 or more years at this stage, I started to use simulations, so kind of role play exercises in my teaching of climate change politics. My colleague Barry McMullen in engineering introduced me to a particular international climate change role play exercise that's modeled on the UN climate change negotiations. And it's basically, people might be familiar with the idea of a model United Nations, where each student or each member of a group represents a different country. So it's a modified version of that. It was developed by a nonprofit in the US called Climate Interactive, along with academics from MIT and elsewhere. It basically, what I really like about that is that it manages in a very simplified way to capture the essential dynamics of the climate change negotiations. And one of the most interesting things about that simulation for me is that the outcomes you get in those negotiations mirror very closely the outcomes of the actual climate change negotiations, which tells me that it's a good simulation of reality. So I started doing that five, six years ago, and I've done that I've run that simulation with different levels of undergrad students and with master's students. So the next step building on that was for me to start getting students to write submissions, group submissions to government consultations on climate change policy. And we did this in the first year of the climate change masters, so nearly 3 years ago at this stage. And in the first 2 years of that program, we did it on an extracurricular basis. So basically, students in their spare time and I in my, outside of my formal teaching hours, came together to write group submissions to consultations. So one was on the Dublin City Council Climate Action Plan. There were a couple of consultations from the Department of Climate Action at national level. I found students were really interested in participating in that. And then the last part of the story is that this past year, with the support of my head of school, I developed that into a formal assessed module as part of the Masters in Climate Change. And the reason for doing that was because when we did it as an extracurricular activity, nobody was getting credit for it. So the students weren't getting credit for it as part of their degrees, and they had all of their other coursework to do. And so that they were probably investing less time in it than they would if it was a formal part of their degree. From my perspective, I was doing it in my spare time, and to be honest, it took a lot more of my time than I initially anticipated, and I wasn't able to devote as much of my time to it as I would have liked. So developing it as a formal module allowed both the students and myself to really commit ourselves to this process.
So can you talk or share with us a little bit then how you found the students engaged with that? How did they engage with, I suppose, the activism, with the group work behind it? Was it received positively?
Yes. So do you mean when it was a formal module or before?
When it was a formal module, yeah.
Yeah, so I had a really interesting experience. So this was semester two of the last year. And the reason it was particularly interesting was because, it was a kind of an experimental module. So, I hadn't done anything like this as a taught module before. And I couldn't find a close analog for this elsewhere. So, we were we were developing it as we went. But one of the decisions that I took at the start was to when we were submitting the module for approval, was to set it up as a pass-fail module rather than on the basis that I didn't want students focusing on what grade they got. I wanted students to be free to kind of experiment, and also for me to be free to experiment as well. But the fear, of course, with a pass-fail module is that students don't take it as seriously because it's not contributing to their numerical grade as part of their degree. They have to pass it to pass the degree. And so at the back of my mind was a concern that students might take it might not take it as seriously as they might if they were getting a numerical grade for the module. But actually it had the opposite effect. Students really, really engaged in it, really committed to it, and the quality of work was at least as good as it would have been if it was a module for which they were receiving a numerical grade. And I had a reflection session with them once the semester had ended. So we had basically a group discussion. So the students' reflections included that they felt kind of liberated to, they weren't as focused on what grade they were going to get, and that freed them up to devote more of themselves to the module rather than less, which was a quite surprising outcome for me. But certainly their level of commitment and dedication and the quality of their work they submitted was really high. And I suspect that was motivated by the fact that what they produced at the end of this was going to be public. It was in the public domain. It wasn't just submitted for grading and then nobody ever sees it again. It was, the material it was submitted to a government consultation on the update of the government's climate action plan. And I tweeted about it. I put it up online. So it is out there in the public domain.
Fantastic. Really heartening to see and to hear about their engagement. And just interestingly, how did the group dynamic work?
Overall, very, very good. So, of course, this was taking place during the pandemic. So it was all online, and it's hard to know what the group dynamic would have been if it had been in person. They were divided there were somewhere around 20 students in the class, and they were divided into groups of three. I should have said earlier, I was very lucky with the timing. The government launched a big national consultation on the update of the climate action plan that aligned almost perfectly with the semester schedule. So I didn't know that when I was originally planning the module, but got lucky in that respect. And so within the consultation, I can't remember the number of topics, but it was divided into different topics, different sectors of the economy. And so students were invited to express a preference for particular topics. And then I did my best to assign them to the topics that they wanted to focus on. And there were, I think, two or three of them per group. So there was a group work phase, and then they presented draft ideas for the collective submission, and then we had a couple of workshops where we talked through their draft recommendations, and then they had to go off and write up a short piece of text, and then I kind of grouped it all together and we finalized the submission, and I think it's fair to say that in our masters in climate change in general, there's a diversity of perspectives, and responding to climate, there are a variety of legitimate views on how we should respond to climate change, and those divergences and those tensions, naturally surfaced in the group work and in the finalization. But I think what I found heartening was that students were respectful and worked well together, even when there were differences of opinion.
Super. So it's clear from what you've said that, in involving students in the, I suppose, the co-creation of the assessment with you is important to you. And I'm sure you've expanded that, I believe, into the creation of the curriculum itself. So can you share just a little bit about your, I suppose, your philosophy about student engagement and maybe the processes around that?
Yeah, so I like to try to involve students in co-creating. I mean, it's not that I start off a semester with a blank slate and no idea of what a module is going to contain, but there are a whole variety of different topics under the heading of, for example, climate change policy and governance. So I in the first class of semester one, I used VVox to create a word cloud of the topic students were interested in seeing covered. And that helped me then to think about what subtopics within the whole area we could devote more or less attention to. And you know, pre-pandemic, I would have used those little note cards, handed them out at the start of semester, just to get a sense of where students are coming from and what they're interested in. And it's not always possible to include everything students want to see covered, but I find it helpful to get a sense of where students are coming from and to try and incorporate their preferences into how modules are designed.
It's great to hear that students are engaged, I suppose, in creating their own learning or pathways through the learning. So congratulations on that. If I could just finish off with just one last question for you, Dermot. You've called for universities to incorporate the teaching of sustainability into teaching curricula. Could you perhaps outline some approaches that lecturers could consider around this, if perhaps this is new to them?
Sure. So I guess that there are a few different models for doing this. And I think our concern, those of us whose entire teaching is devoted to sustainability, our concern is that we are essentially preaching to the converted, right? So we set up a master's in climate change and it's recruited very well over the last number of years. And we have great students and they're starting to go off into the world and taking up all sorts of interesting roles. And that's fantastic. But, you know, that's 40, 50 students out of the entire DCU student population, and of course there are a variety of other sustainability themed degree programs across the university, but the real challenge is in trying to embed sustainability so that all graduates coming out of DCU are equipped with certain key competencies and knowledge. And you know, going back to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report that came out earlier this week, you know, the messages from that are that climate change is here to stay. You know, it's already detectable, even if we do everything we can to reduce our impact on the climate system. We've already gone so far that climate change and its impacts are going, we're going to be living with climate change and its impacts for decades and centuries to come. And it's important that students, that not just students on our sustainability themed programs, but that students across the DCU community understand the challenges we're facing and how they can respond in their own lives, in their careers, and so forth. And so there are, you know, there are different possible approaches to doing that. For example, adding a sustainability module, on every program, or providing support for DCU staff or lecturers who want to incorporate sustainability into whatever subject that they're teaching, because it's a cross-cutting set of challenges, and it lends itself to incorporation in a variety of in the teaching of a variety of subjects. But I think we have a distance left to go in that regard in the future.
Hopefully we'll move in that direction, because that's some very timely and important messages in our discussion today. So thank you very much, Dermot. Much appreciated you sharing your insights with us, and belated congratulations again on your recent award for teaching and learning. So thank you again.
Thanks very much, Lisa. Delighted to join you.